بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. I ask Allah Ta'ala to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, his kind al, family and companions. The following is a section pertaining to what makes it an obligation to perform istinja, which is cleaning oneself after defecating and urinating. Istinja is obligatory when one wants to perform a prayer after the emission of any moist, soiling to the outlet, substance from any of the eliminatory outlets. The emission of a non-moist substance does not make istinja obligatory to perform, since it does not soil the outlet. Istinja is obligatory whether the emitted is customary, such as urine, or not, such as blood, except mani, semen. Therefore, istinja is not obligatory if mani is emitted, because it is pure, not najis. Istinja is performed by using either tahur, pure, and purifying water, by rinsing the soiled area until it becomes pure. This is achieved by removing the najas filth entity and its attributes, or else by wiping the soiled area not less than 3 times. If the area is clean, or more if the area is not cleaned with 3 wipes, until the area is clean, even if the traces that can only be removed with water or small pieces of clay remain. To suffice, wiping needs to be with an uprooting object. Therefore, what is not uprooting, such as glass or bamboo and loose sand, will not be adequate. It also needs to be pure. Therefore, it is not enough to use solid, dry stool of an animal or a stone that is contaminated with something najis. It also needs to be solid. Therefore, neither a liquid substance other than water, such as rose water, nor a moist substance such as a wet piece of cloth will be sufficient. It also needs to be religiously unrespectable. Therefore, it is not permissible, nor is it sufficient, to perform istinja with what is religiously respectable, such as Islamic papers, and what is sought as food by humans, like bread, and what is similar. If all 4 conditions are met in an object, such as stone or paper, istinja may be performed in this way, even if water is present, provided the moist najas filth, that is, the emitted substance, is not displaced or dried. If the emitted substance is displaced from where it settled at first to a separate spot, then cleaning with water is required for the separated substance. Whereas if the emitted is not separated and urine did not spread past the head of the penis of a man and the mouth of the vagina of a woman, where the penis enters, nor did feces spread past as-safaha, which is the area where the buttocks meet when standing, using a stone and the like to clean the emitted substance is sufficient. Or else if all that were not satisfied, or the emitted substance has dried before cleaning it, then water must be used. The following is a section pertaining to the integrals of the obligatory bath, ghusl, and what necessitates it. Among the conditions for the validity of prayer is purification from the state of major ritual impurity, hadath akbar. This is done by performing the obligatory bath, ghusl, or dry purification, tayammum, when one cannot perform ghusl. One is required to perform the obligatory bath, ghusl, after any of these five matters occur. Two of these matters apply to both men and women. The first matter is the emission of semen, mani, of the person him or herself. What is meant by emission here is for mani to reach the outside of a man's penis and the outside of a virgin's vagina. The non-virgin woman, mani is considered emitted if it reached the apparent part of her vagina, that is, what appears when she squats on her feet. Unless the mentioned occurs, it is not considered the mani is emitted, therefore it does not necessitate the obligatory bath. Mani is known by one of the three signs. The first is that it exits in spurts, gushing out one spurt after another. The second is it exits with pleasure. The third is that when wet, it smells like dough, and when dry, it smells like egg white. When either of the three exists, the emitted is judged as mani. The second matter is sexual intercourse, which is defined as inserting the head of the penis or its equivalent size-wise for a person who was born without it or the head of the penis was cut off in a vagina or anus, even if no ejaculation occurs. And three matters are specific to women, the first of which is termination of menses, hayd, which is the blood emitted from the uterus of a woman, not due to illness, nor due to giving birth. The minimum duration of menses is 1 day and 1 night, and the maximum duration is 15 days. The termination of menses necessitates the obligatory bath. The second matter is termination of postpartum bleeding, nifas, which is the blood emitted from the uterus of a woman after giving birth. The minimum duration of postpartum bleeding is a moment, and the maximum duration is 60 days. The termination of postpartum bleeding necessitates the obligatory bath. And the third matter is childbirth, wilada, even if no wetness accompanies the birth of the child. This concludes the five matters that necessitate the obligatory bath. The integrals of the obligatory bath are two. The first integral is to have the intention to clear oneself of the state of major ritual impurity, hadath akbar, or a similar intention that suffices, such as intending the obligatory bath or making the prayer permissible, unlike intending to bathe ghusl or intending cleanliness, tahara, for it would not be enough. The intention must accompany washing the first part of the body. For any part washed before the intention is not considered as valid. And the second integral is to wash the exposed parts of the whole body with pure and purifying water, including skin, and the inside and outside of the hair, even if the hair was thick. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the sincere intentions and to enable us to obey Him at all times. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows best. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.